This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Ulscher, along with the lovely Ron Mary Goulet and Rich Ote, and we're joined in the studio today by Jillian Larson. So this will be fun, huh? Been looking forward to this one.
See if we can survive it.
I know, right? And so, Jillian, have you listened to the show?
I have. I listened actually when I connected with you guys a few weeks ago.
Awesome. Absolutely. And you're still here.
I am actually. I'm very excited to be here.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, come on.
Thank you.
I know, right? And so you came all the way in from Temecula to join us.
I did.
And for those who are unfamiliar with the Southern California area, that's about an hour outside of San Diego.
It's hour north of San Diego,
northeast,
hour south of LA, sort of the wine district. The wine.
Wine. Did you bring any?
I didn't think about that. I did bring bottles.
Kelly, you are in trouble.
That would be the lunch of champions for Reinvention Radio right there.
Yep.
Sour cream and onion potato chips. And wine.
Yeah. It is National Wine Drinking Day too today.
It is? Yes.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but this episode of Reinvention Radio is brought to you by Liquor.com.
So they dropped the ball.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to Kit and the gang over there.
And that would be you, Steve.
And that would be me, I know, since I actually own Liquor.com. I don't know if you know that or not. Jill, your eyes go, that's cool. Like, her eyebrows, like, I wonder what the Reinventing Faces lady would say about Jillian. Did you listen to that episode? That was pretty interesting.
Oh, that was a good one.
Reinventing faces. Oh, by the way, best name ever, I think, for someone who's reinventing faces, which kind of plays into the Peyton Manning thing that we were talking about earlier.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember her name?
I'm not going into that one.
It was Michelle Butt with two T's.
Wow.
Like, wouldn't you change your name? Like, you would change your name. Like, you could, and it doesn't
add an E.
Butte.
Yeah.
Or would that be Butte?
Or butter.
just keep going. Just make it like Butterworth at
Scrabble,
that point.
Get
just,
an extra vowel.
And then she'd be like Mrs. Butterworth.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. Okay, so very cool. So welcome. So glad you're here. And for those who are joining us live on Blab, thank you for doing so. And as you can see, Rich, we are absolutely breaking the internet right now.
It's
Kim Kardashian
crushed.
Has nothing on us. We are breaking the internet right now. Okay, so you've got a lot of interesting things going on right now, but I want you, Jillian, to take us back through some of the earlier days. Like, what were you doing pre-Survivor? And for those who don't know, Jillian, we're going to talk about that, but you were on Survivor a few years back, and we'll talk about that. But, like, let's go back to early career. What were you doing way back when?
Well, early, I was born and raised in South Africa and met an American when I was hitchhiking around Europe in 2000. That was a long time ago, like 45 years ago. Anyway, married the guy, moved to the States, still married, and had three children. So
a true survivor.
I was.
Plus, well played, Mary.
We moved 18 times, and
you
we're not in the witness protection
times.
Plan. It's just because of opportunities.
Because your
husband.
Cover's blown if you're on this show.
I know. Yeah, I'm done.
The five listeners right now are very well connected, just so you know.
I wasn't, and I'm not, so it's good. I couldn't be this public if I was, I guess.
Right.
Raising three children, and I am a nurse by profession. People think that I'm an event planner. Well, I am.
You are now.
But I actually have been sort of all my life. Since I was younger and in nursing school, I was always the one who planned everything. Mm-hmm. So it became a natural. But for that period of time raising children, that's what I did. I nursed like 60, 70 hours a week. So I had to put all of what else I wanted to do on the back burner.
Sure.
Get those kids raised. And then they all finished college, and we paid for their college fees, and their dentist stuff was finished, and so there were no more of those major bills raising children.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to the Temecula area, but prior to that, I had seen in 1999, I had heard about this radio announcement saying there was going to be a new TV show called Survivor.
In 99. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
1999. And you know what? Here's what gets really interesting. Way back when, did you ever watch The Real World?
Oh, yeah.
Rich, did you ever watch The Real World? You didn't have a TV.
But you know.
did you know The Real World?
That was kind of the first
that was MTV, right.
show. Yeah.
That was MTV. I still remember, this is how my mind works. I still remember Pedro, and I remember Puck.
Yeah.
Like, they were from the first season, and you obviously get reality folks together. Rich, just chew in the microphone, man. Just chew. Just have at it. We
Richard's
got chips in the studio
potato
here.
Chips
yeah.
during
like you can't, as a radio host, you can't eat potato chips subtly, unless you do what Rich does. It's like
and
just move
when you're
all
on
the way over.
Lab. You've got to suck
when you're
the
on,
first,
right?
Right.
So
crunch, crunch.
So I still remember that. So Pedro and Puck. I don't remember any other characters because Pedro was one of the first openly gay people to be on TV.
That's pretty bold.
It was Mr. Bold, I guess, evidently at the time. I don't even know if he's still alive. It's a good question. And Puck was like this really like anti-gay and angry type guy who would do like really, really crazy stuff. And so that was one of the first, I mean, if not the first, reality television shows. Right. And before Mark Burnett came up with this whole Survivor concept, this whole elimination thing, this whole week over week, you know, Bachelor, Bachelor, whatever, all that whole genre almost, I mean, it didn't exist. So did you have a chance, and we'll go, obviously we'll go back, but when you were on Survivor, did you actually have a chance to meet and interact with Mark Burnett at all?
Well, before.
Before.
He's one of the guys that looks and sees if he wants you or not. So,
oh, so he's
yeah.
actually, he's still yeah. involved in the decision-making process.
In fact, I've got kind of a fun story when I was, and I'll go back to the when and why and all that, but during my 8 years I tried to get on Survivor and then did get into an interview, and then you go through 2 weeks of grueling interviews. Checking, they check you out. Are you good on TV? Are you, you know, are you good for producers? Are you good for each of these groups? So when I went to the network meeting, I walked into this room and there must have been about 50 people in there. And I thought, oh, good grief, I've got to go sit in that hot chair right in front of everybody. And they said, yep, that's yours.
I mean, 15 would be a lot, but you said 5-0.
At least. I didn't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but looking
at the money that show must make.
Yep. So they interview you to see whether they think they want you or not. Now, keeping in mind that I'd been sending in applications for 8 years anyway, and so they had seen a little piece of me, and I just knew timing had to be right, which it is for anything in life. So anyway, I go and I sit on the hot seat, and Mark Burnett's there, and of course I think he's, you know, thank God for you guys, because this is an awesome show, and now mm-hmm. I'm getting this opportunity. So he says, so what makes you think, because I mean, I'm not young, I'm old. I was 61 by that time, and that's when I got on Survivor.
And you're 54 now, so you're aging backwards.
I learned about this drink you can have. It's not wine.
We sell that on liquor.com,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, right. So anyway, I'm 61. And he says to me, first thing, he says, huh, so what makes you think you can keep up with all the young people? I said, well, there are a lot of things that I won't be able to keep up with them. That's for sure. I mean, clearly, you can see I'm not young. But secondly, you've got to have an old person always. You need an old person on the show. And and secondly, there's going to be a lot that they won't keep up with me.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, all right, drop and give me 10.
So did they have like a knitting,
oh, you're
like,
terrible.
All right, go. Crossover stitch. Under crossover
stitch. I would have failed that one horribly.
Yeah, me too. I don't know.
Eat worms better than I can knit.
Oh.
So I'm thinking to myself, and remember, I've got these 50 important looking people staring at me, and he's telling me drop and give me 10. So I'm thinking, I think he maybe means, you know.
Like literally.
Push-ups. But I didn't want to.
Take out your wallet,
yeah,
get your purse. You're like, all right, hold on.
10 bucks.
You sit on the floor, I'll give you, I got 8. Is that?
Yeah. And it's like, what happens if it isn't push-ups and I've dropped to the ground like an idiot? And then I thought, well, what happens if I can't do 10?
Right.
You know, that's going to be even worse. I said, I can do that. But I said, let's not waste time with me doing that. So I said, okay, who's got questions? So then it took him right off the drop. But
right.
I said, I'll let you know. So I sent him a note after I got back to the hotel. I said, I can drop and give 10, and mm-hmm. I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's quite beside the point.
Right.
Where were we?
Nobody knows. This is Reinvention Radio. And this is just the first segment. Give it time.
Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, what year, what season were you on? So it started in 99, but what season were you on?
I eventually made it season 17.
Right, because they don't actually do it by year.
It's
so some years.
Year.
Oh, it's 2 years.
It's two a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just finished, they're filming. Well, the new one's airing next week. And that's number 32, I believe.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But when I heard about this in 99, it was because there was a writer's strike. Now, Mark Burnett had been knocking on the doors of the networks for a few years before that. And they all said, no, they don't need something. Well, writer's strike, they've got to fill the air with something.
Sure.
So he went back and his timing was right.
Wow.
So he said, I've got something that you can fill your TV with. It's people. We don't have to pay them. You know, they sign a waiver.
Right.
It's perfect.
They're willing to die.
Yeah, for a little TV time or whatever.
What does that say about
TV?
Our society?
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
How desperate are we for our 5 minutes of fame? Now, I am in the same boat, so I'm not knocking you at all, Jillian, but I'm saying, really, when you think about all of the reality TV shows, and by the way, Just in case you were, because I know how close you were to Big Ange on Mob Wives. I know you've watched that show endlessly, Gillian. We talked about this.
Well, we have a few Mob Wives that come to Reality Rally.
Oh my God!
Right,
so so Big Ange just died. But there you go. That's just wanted to share that with you because that's what happens when you go on reality TV. You just never know, and she's now dead. But that's you talk about the 5 minutes of like fame and wanting to get that. You know, or 50. I guess it's technically 15 minutes.
Well, they call
now,
it 15,
right?
But in some cases, like Survivor, it's 39 days.
39 days.
Sadly,
okay,
it wasn't
so I gotta
for me.
Hear about this. Why do you think you were picked?
Because, and again, I always think timing's right. I was picked, first of all, because I didn't give up trying. I mean, that was the bottom line of it. I kept applying, kept applying, kept applying. So I was in front of them the whole time with a video. I had two.
Did you make it like to different rounds? Like,
yep.
How does that work? So there's different levels?
Well, sort of, yeah. In year four, they called me and told me to come in and have an interview. I thought, oh, now I've got it nailed. Well, it was like 2 seconds and they said, thank you, goodbye.
Wow.
I thought, what?
Really?
Who are you talking to? Not me. So I left. And then the following year, I got another interview. And the one was in LA, the first one. The second one, I happened to be in Boston, and at that stage they were doing interviews all over the country. So I went into the one in Boston. Same thing happened. It was like, no, thank you, never mind. But they called me back that night and said, we're not interested in you for Survivor this time. I heard that word this time. And I thought, aha. But I'd been applying for The Amazing Race. So they said, we are interested in you for The Amazing Race.
I love it. She's just like,
well,
I'm
my sister-in-law wanted to do get on Amazing Race, and I thought it would be extra visibility. I mean, I was being very selfish.
Oh, you guys could have done it together, right? It's a pair thing.
It is a pair thing.
All right, so here's what we got to do.
We got to find out more.
I know, and isn't that great? Because now we can get people to stay with us until after the commercial break so we can hear more from Gillian.
Yeah, you want to know what
happens. For sure.
Yeah.
All right, more with Gillian Larson of Survivor and the Reality Rally right after this on Reinvention Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio here with your host, Steve Ulcher, and the gang, Mary Relay, Richard Day, and Gillian Larson's in the house. Yay, good fun. Good fun. All right, so you got to finish the story. Okay, so here we are. It's you got rejected, this time, so you heard that, and did you get
then the Amazing Race thing?
Well, I was rejected once. I went back the second time, and again, it's how do you deal with disappointment? What do you do? Do you give up? Do
you start a radio show?
Blah, 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 blah. You start a radio show. So I go back to this next one. They said, nope, not this time. But we're interested in you for The Amazing Race because a lot of their casting people are the same.
Oh, because that's Burnett too, right?
Right. No, it's not.
He doesn't do The Amazing Race.
It's Munster. Sorry,
okay, somebody else. One of those other people we don't
talk
about.
It's from the Unz family. But it's
Munster.
Yeah, sorry, I always kill his name. But they're the same casting people. So, in fact, some of the winners of Survivor had actually been going on Amazing Race, and then they said, no, not Amazing Race, how about Survivor, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, do you know it? And I said, well, actually, I've been applying with my sister-in-law. And they said, well, how would that be? And I said, well, actually, it would be terrible, because if she doesn't sleep or eat, she's just grumpy, and I'm driven, and I don't care if I don't eat, and I don't care if I don't sleep. And I would just be on her the whole time, and they said, perfect.
Right, I was going to say, that makes for great TV.
They wanted a conflictual couple for that, because it's all casting.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll call you back in the morning, and I couldn't believe I was actually saying that, but I thought, I just can't present myself as that woman who just keeps getting on her.
What
you know,
is that the role
partner.
They wanted you to play?
Well,
they wanted you to play.
And I would have, because she would have been kind of, oh, I'm tired, I'm hungry. And I was like, buck up, you know, just do it. So I would be that one that would be sort of right, I thought. Anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't have been.
And you turned out to be the one who was like, yeah, I'm tired, I'm hungry.
Yeah, right.
Can you go find me a worm? You
know, yeah, that. I like worms. So, I turned it down. Mm. But I also, I can't explain it. I had this driving passion for Survivor. Wow. I just had to. And everything I've done since then has been charity work for survivors of some nature.
Mm-hmm.
Military, breast cancer.
Interesting.
Countries of Holocaust. I did something for a group that brings people from like Rwanda and groups like that. So it's the name. So anyway.
So there's a theme in your life of being attracted to the work around helping those who have.
I was a nurse by profession, it sort of goes naturally.
You know what you are? Because it's like, we talked about this in the last episode, but the what is your what equation is the gift, the vehicle, and the people. Your gift is healing. I mean, you are definitely a healer.
In so many ways.
In so many ways.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
And I think that's why it had to be Survivor. So then you ask, you know, why then? Well, first of all, I hadn't given up applying. And secondly, I nearly got on to the season before, which was Fans versus Favorites. Now, that would have been absolutely perfect for me because it was ocean, and I'm great in the water, but I'm pretty bad on land. I mean, I was 61 by this stage, and I've never been a runner, but I can swim like a fish. I can balance. I can do all of those sort of things. Mm. And they kept saying, well, maybe. And I had a trip to South Africa planned because that's where I'm from. I was going home to visit. I said, would you just tell me, am I on or am I off? Because if I'm off, then I'll carry on with my trip to South Africa. If I'm on, I'm canceling everything. I'm on Survivor. So they eventually said, okay, well, not for this season. And again, I heard that. So the next season was Gabon in Africa. Now, that wasn't nearly as good a season for me, but I also believe that it was part of a whole destined path that somebody else was creating for me. So, and if I'd gone on the season before, I spent some really good time with my brother in South Africa, and he died a year later.
Oh.
So it was almost like it was meant to be that I needed to be in South Africa that
year. You are so cool.
Funny.
Just a great story.
Yeah. So anyway, it was perfect. Again, I thought to myself, it's timing. It's right. Mm-hmm. So the next one was Gabon in Africa. And I thought, darn. But I wasn't going to say no thank you. I mean, good Lord, that was an 8-year commitment that I just put in. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't care. But I knew it was going to be land-based because you don't do ocean stuff in Africa because there's, you know, bad water, terrible currents, sharks, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like mostly desert in a lot of places,
and,
right?
Yeah,
so were you in the desert? Where were you?
No, we were in
the jungle.
Okay. Yeah, we were actually in jungle. So, and I thought, fine, I don't care. And
did anybody ever die on that show, by the way? I don't.
One guy nearly did, actually.
Nearly did.
Russell Swan, I don't know which season it was, but about 4 seasons before me. But I used to watch Survivor every, and before DVR, nobody could talk to me. Nobody could phone. Nobody could do anything. I had to sit there and I was taking notes. How were they reacting? What were they doing? How do they do that challenge? How would I do that challenge? I'd go to SeaWorld and practice on the cargo nets. I would do all of this sort of stuff practicing.
Get out of the way, kid. Move.
Get off the balance beam. I want to use it, please. I need to practice balance. So I just knew Africa wasn't going to be the best for me at all. Mm. But I know Africa, and Africa reveres their elders, and I knew they needed 2 old people for sure for that season. And so I was the old woman potential and went through that 2-week interview and made it the whole way through. And then when I was there, another old guy comes into, and we weren't allowed to talk. It's all silent. It's like a mute field trip. You don't talk, you don't look, you can't, otherwise you're sent home because you've made this visual alliance and they don't want that. So I see this other old guy walking in. And I'm thinking, God, aren't you a little old to be here? And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, I'm old.
Wait, where's the mirror?
Wait. So he was actually the other old guy on my season, and it ended up that he won.
He won.
And he nearly
was
didn't.
Was that Richard?
No, Richard was the first one. And Richard comes to Reality Rally, so
come
meet him. Yeah.
Fun. All right, sweet.
Richard Hatch, was it?
Richard,
I remember
he's
him.
He's just finishing up on The Biggest Loser, actually. So he'll be back at Reality Rally. He comes, and he's awesome. He's extremely charity-minded, and he comes every year. Now, this was Bob Crowley. And he actually was sent home during the interviews because one day I noticed he was missing. And I thought, oh, I wonder where the old guy went. it turned out that he'd been asked, you know, could you be cheating and conniving and sort of horrible? And he said, no, I'm a teacher. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So they sent him home. But then
you come back when you figure out
how to be
cheating,
you know, they
and
him.
Liar and conniving. That's a great word.
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of like just kniving with just pronounced
with
differently?
A con. Kazan.
It's the same thing.
That's true, actually.
It is the same word. Yeah. It's just pronounced differently. See? That's why people listen to, that's why people listen to Reinvention Radio right there. Because I bring up things that they never, ever, ever need to know.
Think of that before, but you're right. That's because that's what so much of Survivor is all about.
It's all about
conniving.
And
it depends on how you're conniving. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between strategic conniving for gameplay, and there's just horrible, which is sometimes there have been some people like that, and they're just not good people in
general. So what was the hardest part of being on the show? Because you obviously thought about it. And look, it's like when you really, really, really want something, especially when you want something and you keep going and you persevere for years and years and years, and then you get it. It's almost like the chase is over. Oh, was there a letdown of any sort when you actually were like, oh, man, I actually get, you know what I mean? Or was it always like high?
No, it was, the challenge actually became to get on the show because I'd actually heard in about.
That was your game of Survivor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was the game right there, surviving the cut all the time and making it eventually. And I heard in about year four that. Of the people that you see on the show, which is what people want to know all the time, is, you know, they're always these good-looking girls and, you know, they've got well-endowed and the good-looking guys with the six-packs and the, you know, the really cool dudes and all that. So you think, well, do they go to a modeling agency or something? But no, they've got casting agents who go out there scouting to fit their pattern. And
so oftentimes it's not even the people in line, the people who come and they try out. They just go out and they find.
They go to the mall. Yep, they go to the beach, they go to the grocery store, they go to the mall, they go to the bars.
Wow.
And only 30% and up to 100,000 people apply every season.
Wow.
Yeah. So of the people that end up on the shows, only 30% approximately, I don't know that they count it for sure, but approximately 30% come from applications like mine out of those 100,000. So when I heard this, I thought, oh, good grief, you know, how am I going to be noticed? I'm not cute in a bikini on the beach. I'm, you know, not the loud drunk in the bar. I didn't fit so many of the things that I know they were always looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I made, you can see it on YouTube. It's called Jillian's Journey to Survivor. I started taking pictures of myself at every landmark that I could, wearing this bright orange shirt that said Survivor Scouts Talk to Me. And I wore it for like six years.
Cool.
All over the place, wherever I went.
And the late, great Jay Conrad Levinson would be very proud of you.
Well,
that was guerrilla marketing, right? That
absolutely.
Was guerrilla marketing right there.
Wearable marketing. I mean, otherwise, why would somebody come up and say, oh, by the way, do you want to get on Survivor? But if they could read it, and I had it on the front and the back of the shirt so that people could see me coming and going. So, yeah, this is very long
and
story about Survivor.
And your husband is still married to you.
Isn't that interesting? Absolutely. He's actually always been my biggest supporter.
That's awesome.
Because I didn't neglect anything else. I just incorporated this into my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And everything I did to prepare just gave me more of something that was me. I mean, I could survive most environments. I didn't practice in the snow because they don't put bikini girls in the snow.
And interestingly enough, I have never actually seen a full episode of Survivor. I've seen parts.
Starts next week. You can watch
it. I've seen parts of the show.
Yeah.
Never actually watched a full episode. So do they eliminate people or is it just a team team?
Well, you
vote each other off.
Did you get voted off?
Sadly, I did. But I just want to touch quickly on the guy that nearly died.
Please do.
Yeah. So
what light of the show?
I'd like to touch the guy that nearly died.
Every year I was watching, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm either getting older because I kept fit. I did some sort of exercise, working that much time anyway, but I fit in the exercise part for at least an hour every day. I kept as fit as I could because I didn't want to be the old lady that fell in the first challenge.
Sure.
So I kept totally fit. But each season, I kept thinking, my gosh, these challenges are looking like they're getting harder.
Sure.
I mean, they were, you know, bashing people and all kinds of crazy stuff, keeping in mind that you are sleep deprived, you're dehydrated, and you're very hungry. So there's all that physical stuff that contributes to you not being the best you can be.
Yeah.
So the one challenge, Russell nearly died. I mean, he literally saw the light. And there is medical right there. I mean, they hang out at all the challenges and they were right on him right away.
Yeah.
But he came really close. So they backed off a little on some of the really bad challenges.
They would have to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know when I was on Naked and Afraid, I mean, most people were just afraid, which is why I don't think they ever aired that. But we'll be talking more to Jillian Larson here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We are talking about Survivor today, and man, this is it's pretty interesting. You never know really what goes on behind the scenes until you actually have someone in to talk about what actually goes on behind the scenes. So, pretty interesting stuff there. And you were voted off.
Oh yeah, we've got to go back to
all
that
right,
subject.
Yeah, I gotta know. I gotta know.
So I try for 8 years to get on. You heard me say that.
Yeah.
I play for 6 days. I lost 12 pounds because I only ate 3 handfuls of rice the entire time.
The whole time?
Because I didn't want the... Because you have a video producer person on you the whole time when you're there. So if you go off to the bush by yourself, they leave you alone. But the moment there are two people together or a crowd of you together, there's... They're filming. They film 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm. They pull 1 minute out of every 300 minutes of film to make the episode that becomes interesting. So anyway, my tribe was not the best tribe that I could have ended up on. You heard me say earlier that I'm pretty useless on land, but I'm great in the water.
Yeah.
So I had known there was an Olympic gold medal runner in my same casting group. And I thought, okay, so I... For the whole time in casting, we weren't allowed to talk, but I was watching. How do they sit? How do they eat? How do they walk? What are their facial expressions like, etc.? And then when you go, I watch them again. So I'm thinking, okay, do I pick the gold medal runner so she's a compliment to my weakness and she'll be the runner in our, and she's an Olympian. She's going to be driven and focused and team-driven and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, okay, it's either her or it's the really cute guy because you always want the cute dude.
I would go with the cute guy.
I know, and I should have. But then this Dave wouldn't Ponder. Be happening, possibly. So, I actually beat the Olympic runner in the first running challenge.
Did you really?
And I didn't know I had. I thought I was dead last because we had to run from one place to another over a little hill thing and then
Was last?
She was second to last.
Wow.
Yeah. I beat two of the other women, her being one of them, and she knew it because I was ahead of her because then we had to climb up this hill.
Congrats. That's
cool.
So,
anyway, I think that she was 31. I was 61, and I'm thinking she's thinking she knew I had beaten her and I didn't. And she was just like so, I won't use the word mean, it was a sound like a seventh grade lunchroom person. But she
this is Reinvention Radio. You can pretty much say whatever you want. Yeah,
there you
have
go.
At it.
Oh, true. So I just thought, you know, she's just really picking on me. You know, she's just being mean and ugly towards me. And she's a black woman. And I thought maybe it's because I'm South African. You know, people sometimes think South Africans are racist. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I made sure that they realized I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, she kept saying, get rid of her. She's too happy. So, yeah, the first one, I missed the cut, and I wasn't cut out the first night, thank goodness, because there's some sort of, it's so weird. I mean, here we are. We're trying for all these years. There's so many people that apply, and you make it, and then it's almost like a shame if you're booted first. So at least I don't have to say I was booted first.
Yeah.
So then I was booted second, but I had a 5-week vacation in the jungle.
Well, then you get to
stay.
Right, then you get to eat and you get to hang out.
Oh,
and
all the wine you want.
Then you get to go hang out with the cast and the production crew.
They pull you away. And we were isolated in the jungle. No TV, no family, no telephone, nothing. Just wine and food and time.
Yeah, 4-star Michelin restaurants.
Well, it was actually, it depends on the season. Ours was a converted lighthouse, but it was very cool in the jungle.
Wow.
So I thought, fine, I'm going to walk. I was training for the 60-mile walk in San Diego when I came back. So I thought, I'm just going to keep training. So I walked 5 hours a day in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and I sort of said up to the universe, you know, all right, so what has this all been about?
Mm.
And that's when I realized that I had something in my hands. I've got speaking engagement content that I can talk to people about never giving up and blah, 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 blah. And I've done over 400 of those talks now in the last 4 years. Mm. And I'm now a reality star.
Right.
I'm connected with all these people because I am one.
Well, you're part of this really small fraternity.
Absolutely.
Or sorority, technically, right? Of folk that have been. But you just said on the break that there were 400?
Yep.
Reality shows on the air right now?
Well, either have been or are, but close to that much on air.
So how many people then have been through a reality show? It's got to be tens of thousands of people by now.
For all of those shows.
For
Survivor, I think the number is, because the episode that starts next week is another Beauty Brains and...
Brawn.
Which none of which I qualified for, so they didn't bring me back. I'm waiting for the oldies but goodies. that, I think, is the 32nd season. So there have been about 400 people that have been on Survivor. So
Survivor
it's a very
alone.
Select
wow.
group of people. I mean, all of us fun enough or idiot enough or something to have made the cut to fit the piece that they were looking for. So for Africa, they were looking for two old people.
Right.
Now, Bob was sent home when he said he wouldn't be mean.
I bet.
But Jimmy Johnson was going to be the other
old
guy.
The race car driver?
No, the
That's
football
cool.
man. The football
no.
man.
Oh, the football man.
Coach man. The coach.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Jimmy Johnson. Right. He's a coach guy.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
So he was going to be the old guy. But during his physical, they picked up a cardiac problem.
Oh.
So he had to have some cardiac surgery. So they brought Bob back.
So they saved his life, basically.
Basically.
So
he feels
the whole
that.
Wow.
He did go back to a subsequent season when he was better. But had he not been having a physical for Survivor, interesting enough, then he survived.
Wow. All about timing again, right?
Yeah.
Timing.
All about timing.
So they brought Bob back. And Bob won.
And Bob ended up winning.
Bob won.
Wow.
My season. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So, anyway, I believe that I had to have a 5-week vacation to create something that has become far more for so many people than me being on Survivor any longer. Plus, I just didn't care for my tribe. I probably would have.
So is that something. Where Reality Rally was born?
Yes.
It was. So, do you remember the moment? Do you remember thinking about this whole idea? Where were you? What was going through your head? And kind of take us back through the inception point for a Reality Rally.
So you kind of talk about the reinvention, and this is what basically at 61 I became reinvented in skills that I clearly had before. But I'm now bummed. I mean, I've been booted. Mm-hmm. 8 years of trying.
Right, and the second one out.
Oh,
yeah.
So I went down to the beach on day one after the night before, and I thought, what's this all about? And you send a luxury item, which they don't give anymore. It's something that you could possibly be given while you're playing the game. So I had taken a deck of cards and a book that is messages from the animals that the Native American culture believe animals send you a message. So I thought I'd take it along, it'd be interesting. So I took this deck of cards down to the beach and I pulled a card, and it didn't mean anything to me reading the description of it in the book, because I was in the wrong place. I was mentally in a really bad place. This was a bummer. That's what I said when Jeff snuffed out my torch. And I kind of joked saying that when my Survivor torch was snuffed out, the flame of Reality Rally was actually ignited.
Nice.
Because that's when it sort of started. So I'm reading the book. You
like
know, where
the phoenix from
that is
the
rose
ashes.
From the ashes.
Wow.
Of disappointment. Yeah, right?
Bummer. Sounds like the story of my life. Yeah. From the ashes of disappointment becomes mediocrity.
So I'm looking at the book and I'm reading the message of the card, which I don't even remember which I drew. And I suddenly realized that the book had little yellow dots all over it.
Mm.
And I thought, what's the book dotted for? Now, my daughter had said that if she could, she'd sneak in a letter for me somehow. But they search everything, even the scene. Of all your clothes to make sure there's nothing like matches or drugs or whatever. They search everything. So, of course, nothing was going to get
through. She did like a little code thing.
It was like a bouncing ball in the book.
Interesting.
And it was a message, a letter from the family. And it was long. because then I, oh, it's a letter. Oh, this is what she did. So I followed it, and a lot of it was, you know, we're very proud of you for your persistence and your energy, and, you know, we're right behind you, and stay safe, and, you know.
All of these words were in the book, and they would just put, like, little dots by the words.
Yep, so I had to read it by following this.
Like every page had a dot?
Had two, three dots.
By, like, a word.
Yeah, that's cool.
We are very proud.
Angry for you leaving.
No one's doing the dishes.
Don't come home.
That's right.
No.
Yeah. But two things struck me. One was, remember, always honor yourself. And I had on Survivor. I had been actually pretty boring TV because I couldn't say what I was thinking about my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing good in my head to say about the people I ended up with. It was just like so not what I'd hoped.
Yeah, that is the antithesis of good reality TV right there.
Right.
Like, can you imagine, like, if all of the reality folks were just like
boring,
thinking in their minds about all these things that they wanted to say, but no one did.
Right, absolutely. And the producers kept saying to me, surely you don't think what you're saying. And I'd look like a little sweet Pollyanna old lady. Yes, I do. Because I just couldn't say it. So because I thought to myself, I can't do that to myself and my family. I'm going to be this bitch of a woman that's going to be known as that forever. And my family's going to be, oh, yeah, it's my mom, sorry.
Right.
Or my wife or whatever. So I just couldn't. So when I read that, I thought, Kendra, I didn't do it, and I honored myself. But then the next phrase was, this isn't the end for you. There's something much bigger waiting for you.
That was in the book.
In the book.
Wow.
Nice. So I thought, okay, why is that message there and what does it mean?
Yeah.
So I went on these 5-hour walks and I spoke to the monkeys. And I said, monkeys, what is it that's waiting around the corner? And that's when I realized these three things I had in my hand. The opportunity to raise money for a breast cancer resource center. The young woman died at 26 that Michelle's Place is named for and because of. I'm a reality star and I love Temecula and this area. And I just put the bones of this event together. So that's what I did for 5 weeks.
Interesting. You know, it's when I, and if you listen to the show, you know I smoke a lot of weed. So when I smoke weed, I often find myself talking to the monkeys.
Just, yeah.
It's like, it's like, really? And it turns out I'm just talking to my children. But, you know, it's like, at that point, I'm like, give me some wisdom. All right, so Reality Rally, definitely want to make sure that we talk a lot about this in the last segment, because you actually have the next Reality Rally coming up.
In April.
Yep. So people will still have an opportunity to, well, not necessarily get in if you're a reality star and you're listening to this, and if you are, come join us on the show, because then you'd be our second reality star to join us on the show. Although we're going to go do a media thing down at Reality Rally, and that'll be a lot of fun. But let's talk about that and how people can get involved, how you're raising money for all these amazing causes, and so on. All right, more with Jillian Larson here of Survivor on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. All right, Jillian, so let's do this, which is, let's talk about the Reality Rally. Now, first and foremost, this is a, well, it's a fundraiser first and foremost, right? So you talked about Michelle and the breast cancer and so on. So that was the spark for this whole idea, or what really was the inception other than the monkeys talking to you? Like, what, what? Because you started, like, identifying charities that could benefit from this whole thing, and the first one was the Michelle's Place, yeah. Yeah.
I actually never considered it. It's weird, but I call this my jungle vision. The pieces just fell into place. I'm a reality star. I can bring reality stars to the Temecula that I love and the area I love, and I can raise money for Michelle's Place. I'd heard her story several years before, and she was misdiagnosed. She was told she had a lump at 19, and they said, don't worry about it. Again, when she was 20, said, don't worry about it. Young girls get lumps. So when she went to the Peace Corps, they did the physical at 23, and it was too far gone because they then explored it and she died. Oy. So that always struck me that, gosh, you know, I'm this fun, adventuresome, crazy person that, you know, I lived. She didn't. Mm. And it just
survived.
Had to be them. Yeah, it just had to be for them. So I came back to town. And I actually had been body surfing on day 4 of boot camp, or Loser Lodge, whatever you want to call
Loser Lodge. Yeah.
So I'd body surfed and crashed really badly, even though I knew how to body surf very well, and totally destroyed my shoulder. So I had to have 2 surgeries to get it back into shape because I couldn't use it at all. It was totally destroyed. Yikes. So anyway, I spent that year researching, how do I find reality stars? Where do I find them? Who knows them, etc. Mm-hmm. And then hit it. And ask people who wants to help.
Is there a private Facebook group for reality stars? You know how everybody's got a private Facebook?
It's called Reality Peeps.
Yeah, on Facebook. Like literally?
Yeah, so I looked for all of that sort of thing.
See, everything's a Facebook group now.
Absolutely, yeah, there's Reality Peeps. And then there's millions of, which is how this has grown so big. So anyway, back to, I've got these 3 components. I want to do a fundraiser for Michelle's Place. They rely entirely on funding and fundraising to provide services to people that are struggling with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. That was where the idea came from. And then I thought, okay, I love fun. I love doing challenges. So I thought we can have a big party at a winery. Hopefully they'll give us the place for free, which they do. Wilson Creek Winery gives us their facility every year, 6 year in a row. We have this huge big fundraising party there with a casino and a red carpet like the stars are used to, and blah, blah, blah. That's all going on with some entertainment and food and all of that. And then I want an amazing race kind of game. So I designed it so that teams of 3 public with a reality star as their 4th team member would go to different stations that are represented by what Temecula has. The Gunfighters, the History Museum, the Children's Museum, the Fashion, the Film Festival, all of these groups that are in Temecula.
And the wine.
And the wine. So the first year we took all of these teams all over Temecula because I wanted people to see Temecula. It was a nightmare. I didn't have enough transport.
Oh, I bet.
It was a nightmare getting over 300 people to these different sites. Wow. So we brought it right into Old Town the next year. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens now. We have this amazing race kind of game on Saturday morning where teams of 3. Now, everybody who's listening, you're probably thinking, well, tell me more. You'll find everything on realityrally.com. Mm-hmm. The next event is April 8th and 9th. So, and we've got a lip sync on the 7th. We've actually added one event to it on the 7th.
Now, that's a singing contest I might have a chance with.
There you go. And yeah, because you just have to mouth it and have fun.
It's kind of like a pro-am golf thing because you got 3 public, just like everyday people.
Yep.
Nobody's like me, right? It's just like, you guys haven't had a show. But we're going to give you a reality TV star as your 4th person.
And a pretend amazing race, because so many people would love to get on the amazing race and Survivor. Fun. So we give them a pretend amazing race, because you can't just get on amazing race. You've heard what it took to get on Survivor.
Yeah.
So this way they go all over doing things, obviously not as huge scale as amazing race
And they
does.
Paid to enter the race and all the money goes
to... $50 a ticket or $150 for the ticket. Mm-hmm. And then we have divisions. So it's fun friends, 3 fun friends who sign up and play. It's the corporate challenge. It's businesses who can represent their business through us. So you'll see this on our website under the teams. Mm-hmm. Then there's the charity chalice. That's where I can help other charities. We've offered a place for other charities to promote their business by being in that division of the game. And we've got the city councils. And I'm actually going to city council meetings last week and this week, challenging them all. Lake Elsinore City Council has won their division for the past 4 years. So all these other city councils put in a team and play against each other, play against everybody.
That's fun.
That goes on for 3.5 hours. And then in the afternoon, we have a family festival where we have characters like Elsa and Anna and Olaf and Prince Charming and Cinderella for families to come and have pictures with their kids who think they really are, you know, princesses, and they should. And then we have the autograph signing. We have, like, this year we're bringing 110 reality stars from over 40 different TV shows.
Wow.
They all lined up. The public buy the autograph book for $3, which is very reasonable.
Sure it is.
And they get all these autographs in the autograph book. So people never throw those away.
So this is who was on last year.
This
so
was
like,
2015.
So like let's, this year,
yep.
Yeah, look, some reality stars are going to be more popular than others, right? Like if Omarosa was there. By the way, I tried out for The Apprentice. I made it through.
I did.
When they were still doing the real public type, nobody people. Yeah, I tried
nobody
out for
people.
That. Yeah, that was me. I made it through the first two rounds and then I got next.
So you understand that whole
I do.
Thing
but so like if Omarosa was there, she's like, you know, kind of on this upper echelon for being the bitch that she is. But she got extremely popular, like Flavor Flav, you know, in his whole show, you know, there's that whole, you know, kind of thing. I love New York, whatever. You know, so there are certain people who are more popular than others. How do you then get some of those types of people there, and are some of those people coming?
Well, two things. One is I research and ask for connections from anybody who knows anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I also do some work with the organization that's called the Reality Awards. They do reality show awards. They're building it to be like the Oscars or one of those sort of people groups. So they're...
Just so you can see where we're at here. Just
want
to make sure so you can get it all in.
Yeah, so I'm connected with those, so they send out a shout-out for us. Some of the bigger stars ask for appearance fees. We don't pay anybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, sorry, you've got to raise $500. We pay you nothing. But this year we've got... People can see it. It's on realityrally.com, and it's under Reality Star Lineup, and you can see there these 109, I think it is, 109 stars. Some of their shows are listed. Some of them have been on two or three shows. We've got people from Chopped, Hell's Kitchen, Amazing Race, Big Brother, Big Brother Canada, Naked and Afraid, Expedition Impossible, etc.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the winners and the runners-up from the last Amazing Race coming.
Oh, fun.
We've got some of the survivors from the last seasons coming. We've got Richard Hatch from the first season, who's always a big draw.
Sure.
So, but again, we bring people from all different shows because somebody doesn't even care about Survivor, but they love Bull Run, or they love Bar Rescue, or they love Amazing Race. So they all have a fan base, and we tap that fan base. That's how our visibility has grown to 96 countries.
Wow. So how many people will attend this year as participants?
So Reality Stars, there's 109 from the public, the other people. At the Wilson Creek party, there are about 1,200 people that come to that.
Amazing. And how much will you raise this year, do you think?
Well, I'm pushing for the 100. I want 100,000 raised.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
So we're really pushing it. So people can sponsor us, they can donate, they can promote their businesses through us.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's on the website. You just have to look on the right-hand side. There are banners that say, sponsor the event, buy a marketing spot, buy a team, play the game.
So
the
it's
stars no longer signing up.
And it's
that's
Reality Rally.
realityrally.com.
Yeah,
and
okay. And if people want to get in touch with you and have you do, you know, some of your speaking stuff or what are the other work that you do, where should people go to find
I have a personal website that is jillianlarson.com, and it's Jillian with a G.
Yeah.
So it's jillianlarson.com, and you can see my speaking and stuff like that on that website. But it's such a huge fun weekend for people. They just really need to check it out.
You're such a firecracker. I mean, like a spark plug. I mean, it's like whatever
it's
you want.
Awesome.
It's like, it's great. I mean, you just boundless energy. Like, you can just sense that. I don't know if you've been feeling it or not, but I've been rubbing your leg like this whole time, just so that like some of that will like rub off
You're
on
so
me,
here.
Right? Hey, you know, believe me, it's amazing having you on. Good luck with
the rally,
and we will hopefully be there with Reinvention Radio. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.